Okay, guys, welcome, welcome, welcome to Taylor's House, to Taylor Radio. This episode, I'm going to talk about the idea of liberty versus safety. I'm going to hit the people that are more on the quote-unquote libertarian side a little bit harder, but it's for good reason, for good measure, because I think people have forgotten the situation we're in, the circumstances we are facing with this virus. I'm gonna hit it all. It's gonna be an interesting pod. I am also having a shirt made for the 2020 election. It's a funny picture of Sloppy Joe Biden. And it's regardless of your political affiliations, it's a funny shirt. So I'll let you know when that's coming out. You can follow me on my website, tstouch.com. I'm usually writing something new every weekend on about Saturday or Sunday. Follow me on Twitter, tstouch1. Follow me on YouTube, like and subscribe, Taylor Space Touch. Thank you. Enjoy the episode. All right, listen up, you tools and fools. Here we go. Let's dive right in. So let's discuss the opening of America. As many of you will recall, different parts of the country have been in somewhat of a lockdown of sorts for a couple months now. Where I'm at, I'm over here in Tejas, in Texas, and we had a stay-at-home shelter-in-place order that started, I believe, at the end of the second or third week of the month of March. So it's been about a month and a half here for us, and much of the country is in the same situation. States across the U.S., as everybody knows by now, have been in stay-at-home orders, shelter-in-place orders. I mean, they're basically variations of the same thing, of the same song, you could say. Now, there's been a growing backlash. I've talked about it in some of my previous episodes. There have been protests going on, people saying, look, we need to go back to work. We have to go back to work. We have to support our families. We can't live like this. We got to get out. And it's very interesting because one thing I've noticed, this situation, because I've had to live in it, as with so many other people, has made me realize the binary nature at which almost every issue breaks out in the United States. There is almost no nuance, and I'm sure it has to do with the structure of people, with the structure of how we think and who we are, but there is two camps. It's either the loudest camps are the people that are saying, let everybody out and do whatever they want. And the other camp is, no, keep everybody locked down. There seems to be no middle ground of people that are like, look, we got to be sensible about this. You know, I've said so before that the way I look at it is like this. The virus is real. The virus is deadly. Yes, it's more deadly than the flu. If you don't believe me, look at the flu numbers, guys. If you go back and look at the flu, you are going to find that there are hardly any actual numbers counted. Somebody on Twitter pointed this out. So I did some research. Not really a lot of research. Sort of some research. I shouldn't be discounting myself. I did some research on the CDC website about how they calculate the flu numbers. Anyone can find this information. I wrote about it on my website, tstouch.com. And I go through different lines and different paragraphs where they talk about how they collect data to find the flu numbers. Well, as I've said before, the flu numbers are not counted numbers. They are not counted. There's no counting going on. Well, okay, a small number of counted cases. The flu numbers every year are based off of model estimates with huge variation. Literally, the variation between like a minimum and maximum is like sometimes 200,000. They might say, or not 200,000, 200%. So they might say, oh, maybe 30,000 people died. They go between 30,000 and 90,000 people died last year. Or, you know, they'll put out a number like that. And it's like, okay, between 30 and 90? That's a huge difference. What do you mean between 30 and 90? We're using that data to measure what's going on in the world? That seems it's preposterous that people would use data with such a huge variation in potential outcomes and say, well, this is the science, right? Anyway, back on track. So with the COVID situation, we have a counted number of people that is much higher than with the estimate. Well, not much higher, but because the estimated number of the flu is usually the middle number, not the extreme. That's usually not the one they go with. But the counted numbers of COVID are into the 70,000s. And it's only been shown to be in the United States since January. Now, an entire flu season, a really, really, really bad flu season that is estimated and not counted, shows that it is at between like 30,000 and 90,000 people died. Now, I don't believe those numbers. I think those numbers are way off. As I've said in a previous podcast, the CDC does not collect a lot of data on the flu. They collect some data on certain hospitals. They use 9 hospitals around the whole country to extrapolate data on the flu. So that's a very limited sample size there. A lot of times, flu tests don't even show if somebody had the flu, even if they really did, because apparently the actual flu virus doesn't stay in your system that long. So you can get the flu, and then your body can go through all the gyrations, but then the sensitivity of the tests may not be strong enough for them to pick it up after like 2 or 3 days or after a few days of you having the flu. So by the time you go to the doctor, you might not be able to test positive for the flu even if you had it, or you might not have had it at all. There are so many problems with the flu data. One more thing before I continue. Another issue with the flu data is that they estimate deaths by looking at people who died of congestive heart failure, who died of other kinds of pulmonary diseases, COPD, and people who died of pneumonia. Now, pneumonia can come from many different things. It doesn't have to be the flu. There's many other, you can do your research. I've already done some research. There's several, like bronchitis. You can get pneumonia from bronchitis and other kinds of respiratory illnesses. So people are being estimated to have died from flu-related causes, even if there's no test. There's no test being done on these people. It's all just kind of made-up bullshit numbers on the flu. Anyway, so what's going on currently is people want to either open up the economy and let it rip, or people tend to want to stay in the precautionary zone of don't do anything. And Nassim Taleb, one of my favorite intellectuals of the day. He wouldn't want to be maybe called an intellectual. I don't know exactly what he'd want to be called. He's a former trader. Now he writes on the philosophy and the math of risk management. And he has been going after libertarians lately, and him and Joe Norman have. And I really like what they say, because what they're pointing out is that there's a lot of people who, in response to the lockdowns, are trying to say, we don't have to take any protective measures. Now, I think anyone who's got a really good, well-functioning mind would realize that's absurd. We have to open up the economy, we just have to do it sensibly. But there are people out there that are like, look, I don't need to wear a mask, there shouldn't be any enforced masks, and all of that. And I have to be honest, I'm caught in a very, I don't like to be in this situation here, because, you know, ideally, towns and cities and communities and people should voluntarily, in my opinion, everyone going into a shopping center, going into a Walmart, going into any place with lots of people should be voluntarily wearing a mask. You shouldn't even need to have somebody tell you you need to wear one. Because we know that this disease is deadly. Now, we also know that we don't know a lot about this disease. And that's the other thing. There's people that are saying, look, just open it up and let it go. What they fail to account for, and I keep having to explain this to some people, is that we legitimately do not know much about this virus. Now, I understand that there might not be much we can do in terms of, we can't keep the economy shut down forever. I get that. But there could be some very big consequences of just not even trying to protect even healthy people that aren't going to die from getting it. Because we don't know what's going to happen. There are reports in certain parts of the country, I think in New York, pediatricians were seeing an increased number of kids that had this thing called Kawasaki syndrome. Let's take a look at Kawasaki disease or Kawasaki syndrome. It's a condition that causes inflammation in the walls of some blood vessels in the body. It's very rare. Early stages are rash and a fever. They include peeling of the skin. Late stages may be inflammation of medium-sized blood cells. It may also affect lymph nodes. So it's usually treatable. I'm not sure how bad it gets when it gets really bad, but it looks like it can be... Okay, let's take a look here. Let's do a little bit of an investigation here on Taylor Radio. I don't know. It can cause serious... Okay, so the National Health Service in UK has some information. And they say... it can cause serious complications. Treatment should begin as soon as possible. I don't know. Anyway, it looks like it can cause some serious issues. Oh, once the ultrasound has confirmed your child. Okay. So it looks like it causes some inflammation or issues with blood vessels within kids. And some people are beginning to say, hey, it looks like this might be linked to coronavirus. There's an increase in number of these cases. Now, some people have also pointed out that COVID-19 has skin symptoms as well, in addition to what people thought were, you know, just cold symptoms and flu symptoms. So there's a lot about this thing we don't know. Some people in their 30s, you know, in their 30s have dropped dead from strokes, which they think has to do with the way that COVID interacts with your bloods, with your blood, with the blood vessels in your body. So there's so much we don't know. And we don't know, like, what happens if you get this disease and, like, 5 years later, you know, it compromises your immune system so that you have no idea, but maybe, like, 5 years later, if you get the flu, then you die, right? So, I mean, I'm just throwing something out there. But what my point is that there's a large level of uncertainty. And while that doesn't mean that we should live in a permanent state of fear, it does mean that we have to be cautious. And I want to touch back on the freedom and interconnectedness debate as well. So in a previous debate, I talked about the problems with being too interconnected, with being too globalized. But we can also talk about this in terms of nationwide as well. Because we are so interconnected, because they're, you know, communities, towns, cities, states are no longer mostly like self-sustaining. Because of that, there actually is a huge loss of freedom, right? So because somebody in Dallas, because the supply chain is so interlinked and it's so efficient in such a way that maybe a few places, you know, have to stay open in order to keep everything going. Or what I'm getting at is because we are so interconnected and so interlinked and our supply chain is so fragile that we have to expose many, many people to risks because of the potential of economic breakdown. Because if towns and cities and states were more self-sufficient, then, like, for example, Texas or Louisiana could say, hey, look, we are going to suspend travel from people coming in and out of the state temporarily. We have our own food supplies. We have our own, you know, manufacturing capabilities, or we have limited capabilities. Basically, if people were more self-sustaining in many different levels of the economy, locally, municipal-wise, statewide, regionally, then there would be more freedom, right? Some people like Joe Norman and Yanir Bar-Yam were pointing this out when this thing first started. They were trying to say, look, if we scale down quick enough, if we are able to restrict inflows and outflows from areas of the country now, then people can have more freedom of movement. So, for example, it's like, okay, if you stopped travel nationwide, you said, okay, everybody in your state, you have to stay in your state, right? Or if a state was allowed to say, okay, Texas says we're locking down, nobody's coming in or out of Texas unless you're bringing in, like, you know, trade goods, that's it. If Texas did that, now, that would look really bad on the surface. But what it would allow is that it would allow Texas to open up, or it would allow Texas freedom to make decisions for Texans. So same thing with Houston. If Houston said, okay, we are making a perimeter, nobody is coming in or coming out of the city, but within the city, there's freedom of movement, right? Like, you could do something like that. Or Harris County, or, you know, in the city. Now, because of the nature of our economy, in many ways, that's not necessarily doable. Most people don't know their neighbors. A lot of people don't have money saved. A lot of people don't have a way of growing food, including myself. So we can't just simply say, okay, you know, nobody can come in here, and then, you know, all the different quote-unquote essential workers or whatever would not be able to do their jobs possibly. But in an ideal world, okay, an ideal world where we could actually deal with a pandemic and have these kind of concentric circles where you go, okay, at this, you have a city, you have a local city and county level, where you can keep things clean, right? Where we could say, okay, hey guys, everybody here, we're not going to let people in and out of this area, but everybody here, you can do whatever you want, right? Like, everybody in Harris County can, you know, in the Houston area, can, you can go out, you can drink, you can do whatever, but we just can't, you're just not going to be allowed to go outside of Harris County, but you can do whatever you want while you're here. That is the idea between... that was an idea brought up by, I believe, Joe Norman or Yanir Bar-Yam, that it's like, look, if you restrict travel, you can allow more freedom within those areas. But if you don't restrict travel, you're going to have to end up doing lockdowns across the country, because people are going to be spreading this thing across the country, and everyone's going to be affected. And that's actually what we see happening. And it's unfortunate that, you know, the people that are quote unquote libertarian, or that are, you know, just open the floodgates and let it go, those people of that type of thinking don't seem to understand is that, you know, you don't have your freedom. Your freedom isn't here. Like, the freedom that you think you have is not the freedom that you actually have, right? If you had true freedom, you wouldn't have to open up in order to survive. If you had true freedom, then you would have had more options than what you have now. The reason that you don't is because of your lifestyle, which is dependent on this whole interconnected system of parts to work. If you were truly free, then you would be in a situation where you could provide for yourself, where you could have some kind of self-sustaining. And I mean, I'll admit, I am in a similar condition. I'm not running around saying, ah, I'm truly free, that I am in an absolute state of freedom. I'll be honest, I do not like how the more libertarian-minded folks, or, you know, the quote-unquote people that are like, oh, don't be a pussy, you know, don't be a puss, you know, your freedom is being infringed upon. Look, I am not being a child or a baby or an infant because I don't want to be a participant in the spreading of a deadly, unknown disease, to which not only could it harm me in my future, right? I mean, it's been shown to make some people infertile. Some men, it's like destroyed their sperm or whatever. So, you know, not only has it shown that, but I mean, who knows what it could be like. Now, here's another thing. I'm going to go ahead and switch gears and hit on the people that are too pro-lockdown and don't understand that we are interconnected, unfortunately, so interconnected that, well, if we want the economy to get back going, then really lots and lots of people do have to get back going to work. You know, most people cannot depend on neighbors and friends and relatives to provide them with food and water and things they need. So as a result, we do have to get the economy going. So the idea that you can stay in an extended lockdown for a long period of time, it's not workable. It's just not workable. And I'm even coming from a more privileged place, right? I'm coming from a suburban area. Like, imagine being in the inner cities, right? Imagine being inside of an inner city of like my city of Houston, or being in like Chicago or New York, and now nobody has any money because nobody can go to work. You know, nobody has any money, nobody's working, nobody has any jobs. Like, imagine trying to support yourself then. Yeah, it doesn't sound like a very stable long-term situation. The other thing is, I think we have to watch out for in this whole thing is government surveillance. As I've pointed out in previous episodes, the government is going to be using this situation, you know, to scare people in order to take a vaccine, or to scare people into having them, you know, give up more and more rights. And as I've said before, I do believe this virus is dangerous. I believe it is deadly. But I also believe that we cannot just give up everything that we have. We cannot just give up our rights. We need to take our lives into our own hands truly, right? So that means get a mask, wash your hands, social distance. You know, it's like, honestly, I think if people on a local level, we can make our own choices, we can beat this fucking thing, man, or we can keep it way back. We can stop a massive spread. We can slow it down. We could probably prevent people from getting it by people wearing masks, by people not going to huge public gatherings. I think these are things we need to all think about. We all need to look at. Anyway, that's all I got today for my rant. By the way, I have a shirt that's being made. It's called Sloppy Joe 2020. It's hilarious. No matter if you're Republican or Democrat, we all know that Joe Biden is just lost his mind. And the Democrats are running him anyway. So I made a really funny shirt that I'll probably be producing here really soon. And it'll be available on my website. So I'll let you guys know when that's done. You can follow me on my website, tstuch.com, tstuch.com. You can follow me on Twitter, tstuch1, tstuch1. Follow me on Instagram, Taylor Radio, Taylor Radio. Like and subscribe on YouTube. I need some help, guys. Get me going. That's Taylor space Stutch, Taylor space Stutch, Stuch. And that is it for today. Thank you for listening and have a great day.